Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today is Renee Elliott, founder of Planet Organic, the UK's first organic supermarket and one of my favourites. Inspired by the life-changing book Diet for a Small Planet about the environmental toll of meat production and spotting a gap in the UK market for the kind of organic food culture that was emerging in the US, Renee founded Planet Organic in 1995, I remember it well, believing supermarkets could be ethical, stylish and forward-thinking. Having expanded to multiple stores across London, Renee, initially retaining a stake in the company, was actually pushed out of the company and then went to raise her family in Tuscany and launched a coaching and training organisation as well, focused on women entrepreneurs and leaders. But in 2023, with Planet Organic sales down 50% from where they'd been, Renee returned to rescue them from administration, restoring the brand's values and mission, and describing it as, and I quote, "the hardest I've ever worked, but the most fun I've ever had." Renee Elliott, my business shaper, the founder of Planet Organic. But it's drama from the moment we get going. You were pushed out. I want to start there. It's not the beginning of 1995. You were pushed out. What does it feel like to be pushed out as the founder of a business?
I described it at the time. It felt like, because Planet is me and I am Planet, it's a part of me. I birthed it in a different way than you birth children. I created every nuance of it. So it felt like my right arm was ripped off without anesthesia.
How do you come back from that?
It took a long time. And we left the country because, A, I couldn't talk about it. I had a gag order. And people may have thought that was because I got a huge payout. It wasn't. I got a year's salary. But I needed that because they pushed my husband and I out. So it was our only income. And I had three young children, 7, 4, and 1. So we needed to take a year's salary. And then I said, I can't even be here, you know, with someone else running the company and not a part of it. So we left and went to Italy for a year, which turned into 3.5 years. But I did a lot of, like, my husband hadn't ever not worked. So we got there and he said, what do I do? And I said, chop wood, carry water. And I said, and build me a really big vegetable garden. And we had a tiny farm with an olive grove and an orchard and some grapes. And he grew vegetables. But what I was saying was slow down, breathe, you know, meditate, because it had been a very difficult and intense 10 years. And he had taken the brunt of the difficulty from the shareholders. So I said, just slow it down. And I slowed down and was a mom and cooked and baked and did all those lovely things. And we were literally in the land. You know, it was get in the dirt, go for walks, pick the olives. And over time, I got over it, forgave the horror of what had happened and moved on. But, and I believe about that in love. I believe that it's gripping anything, thoughts, emotion, the past that cause pain for people. And when you can let go, when you can drop, you're free.
But anger and trauma are things, aren't they?
They are. But under anger is sadness. And if you can get to the sadness and let that go and trust that, and this is, we're heading right into spirituality, but for me, it's a very spiritual framing that if you trust that your life is unfolding as it should, and everything that happens are lessons that you need to learn and move on, then there's no, oh, poor me, woe is me. And that's been my MO forever. I never threw a pity party, not then or right at the beginning when my partner tried to take Planet from me.
Had you ever experienced that kind of pain in your life before?
I had, because I actually say the worst thing that ever happened to me was 2 years after Planet started, my business partner, who I had been very close to, wanted Planet for himself. And we ended up in a 14-month litigation and an 11-day trial in the high courts. And that was incredibly difficult. That was sustained amygdala, fight, flight, freeze, didn't know what was going to happen. If I'd lost, I would have been bankrupted because my legal bill was enormous. And I don't come from privilege. I'm a small town American girl.
we've talked about immediately pain and trauma, and you know, as you said, it's like the universe doing its thing. It's like you're very, very philosophical about it. Have you experienced that pain and trauma? You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I hope you do, in personal life. And if so, how did that compare? Because I'm just interested in how you've dealt with different things, because I see you and I see a person who has dealt with stuff. And I just wonder where that strength comes from.
Interesting. Of course, nobody has asked that question before. And I don't think so. I mean, we have relationship, you know, we all have relationship issues, family, marriage, children. But I am very blessed. And I think the answer to that being no is because when I was 19, I had this epiphany about not wanting what I saw around me in terms of convention. I wanted better. I didn't want non-organic meat. You referenced the book. I didn't want to eat that. So I became a vegetarian. I wanted a better relationship than I saw on Hollywood films and in the relationships around me as a kid looking at adults. I wanted a better schooling system. So I started on an alternative path at 19, and I kind of framed what I now call your circle of well-being. And it has six spheres of well-being. And I teach that now as a year of transformational development. But the point of that is that I started on an alternative journey to find what better was, because what I saw around me was not better.
What was the trigger?
It was the book.
It was the book, really?
It was the book. It was Diet for a Small Planet. I read that book, and it felt to me like the end of innocence. I had a beautiful childhood, very innocent in the countryside. You know, you grow up thinking that life is beautiful and people are kind, and then you realize that isn't necessarily the case. And for me, it was that. I read that book and thought, oh my God, no one's looking after my health. Not the government, when you look at the way meat is farmed in America. Not the government, not the farmer, not the supermarket. And it was like being slapped in the face. And I thought, I don't want this. I want different, and I want better. And better isn't what the masses are doing.
Incredibly young to have that epiphany, because often people read, I cast my mind back to when I was 19, I read stuff that was important, but I don't know if it changed my life.
It shook me. And I actually believe that's when I started working on Planet Organic, after I read that book. So that led me on an alternative path. And what that led me to was personal development. Do you frame that when I say that? Personal development, self-awareness?
Yeah.
Understanding yourself, the discovery of self, and the learning in your life. So there's the doing line and the being line. And it's that discovery of self and who you are. And really importantly within that, like, who are you? Then you can be yourself. But then really importantly, manage yourself. And that's learning how to break negative patterns of behavior and thinking and that inner critic. And so I started working on that really young. And that's been a parallel journey for me. And I've woven that into Planet and the work I do as a coach. So any personal mishap I've had along the way
has been harnessed.
It has. And my husband, Brian, we took that journey together. And we've been together for 40 years.
Yes, and you still are together.
And we are better than ever. Yeah. It's magic. And that is because we've taken that journey together, which is about taking responsibility for yourself, your actions, your reactions, and seeking better. You know, striving for harmony and understanding.
And somewhere in that bridge between the personal and the business is this thought, which is yours, which is never bend your truth.
Yes.
Is that right? Do you think that's what links the two?
Yes. I think that's a beautiful way to frame that. I'm going to steal that.
Well, it's yours.
But you put it together.
I did.
So beautifully. Yes, I believe in the truth. I think truth is really important. And there have been times in my life when I haven't been able to tell the truth, and that's crushing for me. And you know when people lie, someone will say, oh my God, he's a pathological liar. My best friend says, I am pathologically honest. It's like a disease. And that's just so important to me. And I believe that in life, that is incredibly important.
stay with me for much more pathological honesty from my business shaper. It's Renee Elliott. She'll be back in a couple of minutes. Right now, we're going to hear a taster from the Mishcon Innovation Series, which can be found on all the major podcast platforms. Lydia Kellett invites business founders to share their practical advice, industry insights for those of you thinking about starting your very own thing. In this clip, we hear from Bianca Rangecroft, founder and CEO of Wearing, a fashion app on a mission to upend the buy, use, dispose model.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. Inspiration from founders of cutting-edge businesses. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dorea.
And if you had to give a piece of advice to somebody looking to break into the fashion tech world, Bianca, what would that be?
I'd say two things. The first, if you're a founder and you're starting this journey, I'd say really focus on your strengths. Solve for what you cannot do and be really, really honest with what that is. Because the ROI and you focusing on your strengths and building that out as potentially the face of the brand or the face of the technology or the face of the operations of the company is so crucial, because time really is money. And this journey is a marathon and you really can't burn out because you are the MVP. And so solving for what you're not good at allows you to remain as much as possible in a percentage of enjoyment of the work that you do rather than in a percentage of, I've just got to get this done to keep things moving. So really picking that team, being honest with yourself about what you can and can't do is really important to just getting there faster and in a better mental health state.
The Mishcon Innovation Series, in association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dorea.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishcon Dorea. It's business. But it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can catch this very program again if you pop Jazz and Shapers, that was complicated, wasn't it, into your favorite podcast platform. My guest today is the pathologically honest Renee. It's what we're going to call you now. Renee Elliott, founder of Planet Organic, the UK's first organic supermarket. I think we should go to 1995. So this is you're a woman at 19 who has begun her journey to self and self-awareness and this sense of, hold on a minute, the world ain't a great place. And then you are able to open your first new version of life, new version of how we should sell food, how we should eat food and all that. It's called Planet Organic. What was going on when you opened the doors for the first time? What was happening in 1995 for you?
I was 30 years old when I started working on Planet, and I had come to England to date a guy I'd met on holiday. I'd been here the year before on holiday. So I'd moved over in 1986, and I had other jobs first, which were great and fun, but I knew very quickly it wasn't what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I knew I had a vision, and it just took me a little while to find it. So in England at the time, so I got married to Brian.
The guy you came over to
yeah,
hang
the guy
out
I
with.
Met on the bus.
On the bus, yeah.
And we
lucky your due diligence wasn't important there, right? I mean, we could be in a whole world of pain, but no. 40 years of marriage, that's okay.
It's okay.
It worked out.
So in England there were really great little health food stores.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a supermarket. There wasn't a one-stop shop, and they were not appealing to a very specific, say, hippie customer. And I wanted to take organic from that niche and health food, because it is the best food and it's what everyone should be eating. And it baffles me why people aren't. It doesn't really, but it's just insane. And take that food into the mainstream and put it in a beautiful setting with excellent service and music and plants and displays and all that great stuff that I'd seen in America, which nobody had done. The other thing that was brewing around that time was genetic modification was obviously had been happening for a long time and was brewing in the States. And when that came to England early 2000, that impacted us. But at the time, that wasn't a thing. And nobody really knew what organic was. So when I opened, when we were trying to raise money for the business, people really had no idea what the concept was.
Where was the first store?
Westbourne Grove. That's the flagship.
Yeah.
It was number 42.
The answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
Yes. Just for you, she was looking going, Elliot, it's okay. It's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, because you're a man of a certain age. I am. You're absolutely right. It was number 42.
Number 42.
And that moment, the doors open, that moment your vision comes to life, what did that feel like?
So we turned 30 years old on November 4th. So it was around this time. And I was actually talking about that story this morning. I was so excited and so I had such a vision for changing. I said, I'm going to change food retailing in the UK. I'm going to bring organic into the mainstream. I had big statements. And I had no idea what I was doing. You know, like all first-time entrepreneurs, I wasn't a Harvard MBA. I knew how to write a business plan. That was about it. I'd worked in a health food store. But I believe in the power of the individual. And I believe that you can do anything you set your mind to, that determination is the most important thing in entrepreneurship because you can learn anything. And my dad had told me that when I was a kid, and I'd believed that. So I thought, well, I'll figure it out. And my business partner at the time was similar. He had never run a business. So we were going to find our way together. And it started off slowly. We nearly went under in the first couple of months because nobody knew what we were doing or what it meant. And we didn't advertise because I didn't believe in advertising. And this was pre the internet. Yes, my children say I started it in the olden days before the internet was just starting in 95. So getting the word out without advertising was tricky. But then there was a BSE scare in February. So we opened in November. Christmas, I thought, we're going down. And then in February, a BSE scare hit. And it just gave what we needed, people to suddenly think about the food they were eating, be jolted out of their complacency around, I'm trusting the government and the farmers and whoever to give me food that is good for me and the environment. And suddenly it was, well, actually, no, this is not. And when Gummer, I don't know if you remember this.
John Gummer.
Had fed his daughter that hamburger on TV in 1988. That was, for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so on the right path. But so this reared its head again in 96. And we took off. And we did 1.2 million our first year out of one store.
I'm going to go across time for a moment, but I'm going to talk about your style as a leader. There was a conversation you had with your mum about what kind of, you know, the femininity piece, and it's important to be feminine in who you are. I can't imagine you would have been anything other than exactly who you are. But what are your observations now with more experience and looking back on feminine traits in business and how well those have been received over time?
Not well. Very good. Very nice question. Thank you for that. Yes, my mom asked me if I was afraid of heading into an industry that was very male-dominated, very powerful personalities. And I hadn't been until she said that. And I thought, okay, yeah, maybe. And she said, and interestingly, she wasn't a business person. She said, Renee, use your femininity as your strength. Don't think you have to act differently. Be yourself, really, which is everything, to be yourself in life. So I took that, and it was as if it was okay because my mom said it was okay to do that. And I then created Planet exactly the way I wanted to, which was as a caring business. You know, I started Planet because I cared deeply about everything, about people, about planet. And I wanted to channel that into a business that would do good in the world so that my life on this earth had made a positive difference. That was my motivator. And so I made it a feminine business, which is a caring, nurturing business, and I led with values. And I wove values through the business in three very distinct ways, which I won't go into, two ways in terms of our doing and one in terms of our being. And that informed not only what we were doing, but who we were while we were doing all the doing.
Just humor me, though, just really quickly, because you said it and I'm intrigued.
I call it the sacred triangle of relationships.
Okay.
And that triangle is trust and respect underpinned by good communication. And I use that, I teach that, I have raised my children with that, and it's been a game changer. I've done a million things differently from my parents, who did a great job, and I love them forever. But the sacred triangle of relationships was the key difference in my parenting.
So, and the way you ran the business.
And the way I ran the business. And that meant I care about people. I was looking after their well-being. It was that whole well-being thing that I had framed when I was 19.
And what were those six, just to remind me, because I read
so
it.
So it's physical, occupational, psychological, economic, social, and spiritual. And because people think well-being, they think mental, physical. Well,
yeah.
Well-being is anything that affects anything in your world. So it's everything in your world. And that's everything. So I led with values. It was a very caring, nurturing company. And for me, business and my life has been the weaving of those two things, that well-being plan and that business plan. And within that, personal development and self-awareness. So you're in awareness about who you are and what you do. It's know yourself, be yourself, manage yourself, and take care of people, because why would you not? And I knew that conventional business didn't run that way, but I wasn't interested in that. I never want to do what anyone else is doing. It didn't go down well with shareholders and other people in my...
Well, also the journey would say it's been a bit of a roller coaster, right?
I mean, that's the word I use.
Yeah, the roller coaster. It's up and it's down. And in a way, I guess the answer to the question about the femininity piece is, if only the world understood.
Yes. And now I talk about vulnerability, because that is for men and women. And I went in my vulnerability and femininity. And then my partner came at me for Planet, as I said, and I picked up my sword and shield and I fought the good fight. And I read Sun Tzu's Art of War, and I read the Bhagavad Gita, which is about the righteous war. And I fought because I can do that too. And then over the years, I thought, yeah, I really don't want to now. And when I went back into Planet 2 years ago, I thought, I have to go in my softness, in my vulnerability, and in where I am now, which is no stress.
And I was thinking, I want to ask you, as we have our final chat, which we'll in a minute, about, yeah, what's more fun, vulnerability and no stress or conflict? Final chat, as I promised, will come up shortly with Renee. And we've also got some music from Candy Staton. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
Candy Staton with the brilliant Nights on Broadway. If you could see us, we were dancing here on Jazz Shapers. It's Renee Elliott. She's my business shaper. She's the founder of Planet Organic. You broke the rules. You smashed convention. It's exactly why we created this program, to have people like you talk about what they've done. There's a cost to that, right? I mean, you talk about meditation and you talk about all these fabulous things, which are frameworks for thinking and for managing emotions. But if we went back to a Hobbesian time when the spirit was let loose and you were just this wild creature, the wild creature has a lot going on. And my sense is that the meditation and the management is to harness that, because otherwise, you know, who knows what would happen? Do you feel like you're managing the hurricane the whole time in your own head?
I feel like a force of nature. And the meditation creates the stillness that is necessary in that high activity, high desire to do good in the world, and it's in that stillness that you're in touch with your true self. That's where you hear your small, still voice or your intuition, whatever you call that. And you're in touch, I believe, with the flow of the universe. But you can only get that in stillness. So that stillness is where I tap into knowing and peace. Then I take that into the world.
But you're like a moth to the flame, Renee, because you're drawn to this thing called changing the world. And you're doing it through a commercial endeavor, which is to get people to eat healthily and to have part of their well-being sustained. That's really hard. And the journey of ups and downs of Planet Organic, in a way, are a manifestation of exactly that, which is you're buttressing up against the world that says, this, don't be silly, sell it cheap, make it cheaply, have chickens living in little cages, forget all this organic stuff. The business went away from organic. I mean, that is the ultimate insult to you, the person who was focusing on organic. How do you find your peace now with where you're at, with everything that's happened?
Well, going back in, so the previous management team put Planet into administration at the end of April 2023. And I was very happily being a coach and a mentor, doing my thing. And I got a phone call saying, 30 minutes and it's all over. And I thought, okay, well, we'll rescue Planet. I had no intention of going back. My husband, I put the phone down and he said, do you want it back? And I said, absolutely not, which I now can't believe I couldn't see. But I was like, nope, been in that pain, done that, moved on, healed. Long story short, we realized we were probably the only people who had the understanding, knowledge, connections to pull Planet out of the mud that it was in. As you said, sales were down 50%. So we had a tiny pot of money. We led a bid. We put the deal together. It was accepted by the administrator. We bought Planet out of administration. And going back in for me was glorious because I said, I'm going back in my femininity. I'm going back without stress. I now have to live what I've been learning and teaching all these decades.
The hurricane has to now be calm.
Yes. And lead an amazing team who stayed to feeling loved and cared for again because it was awful for them, to lift the business out of the mud, to gain customers' trust again, to go back to organic and bring us back in our lane of organic and healthy food, and to rebrand in a way that reflected Planet as a haven in the world. So for me, professionally, personally, spiritually, it's been such a gift and such a success.
And the going back, people often say it's like that cinema Paradiso thing, never come back.
Oh.
You know, the bit at the end where Little Man, I loved it. I mean, that's one of my favorite films, but you had to.
I had to. My husband said, he was just saying this morning, he said, you stood up. He said, you went back in and you rescued it, even though you were really happy where you were. And it was a huge risk because I couldn't let it die.
You don't look stressed.
No, I'm not stressed. It's the meditation. It's everything. It's self-awareness and wanting joy and peace and living a beautiful life.
It's been fabulous talking to you, fabulous meeting you. Thank you for your time. Just before I let you go and lead your beautiful life with, of course, the parenthesis saying, yeah, sometimes it gets a bit bumpy. Apart from the bumps, go have fun. But before you go, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
Oh, well, Harry Connick Jr. was my Frank Sinatra, who was my mom's favorite singer. And Harry was gorgeous and loved that voice. And the lyrics of this song really are me. This is my life and my belief system wrapped up in a song that is fabulous to listen to and dance to.
With Imagination, I'll Get There from Harry Connick Jr., the song choice of my business shaper today, Renee Elliott. With determination, you can do anything, she said. Trust and respect underpinned by communication, the holy trinity of building strong relationships and a strong business. I want better, and better is not what the masses are doing. And therein lies the opportunity for businesses like hers and like yours, potentially. And finally, I feel like a force of nature. And indeed, she was. Great stuff. That's it from Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.